didn't want to be a war protester or angry critic. I'd rather be a jester. But when Bush pulled the trigger, all the scene in the jail, he said we got done in, they said we failed. But wait, hold each other fast. This stage is ours, our parts are cast. We've seen these guns and bombs, won't let it go, we learned from Vietnam. We've seen these guns so many times before, cry the poor.
Hello, friends. This is Blaise Bonpain with World Focus. The Holocaust in Iraq continues. It was not enough to drop 88,000 tons of bombs in 1991. It was not enough to continue the bombing for 11 years more. It was not enough to embargo food and medicine, to starve people and watch their children die of malnutrition and preventable disease. Many of us have been to Iraq, and we can assure you that the country is now in ashes. Nearly 2 million people have died in this Holocaust, and the cult leaders in Washington have determined that we must kill more. As they kill and maim millions, they talk as if there is one person living in Iraq, and that is part of the cult madness. This war is being planned against the wishes of the sovereign people of the United States. The presidency is at its lowest ebb in our history. An unelected president of the United States is acting to the detriment of the people of the United States. And so the head of state in Israel is acting to the detriment of the Israeli people. These two cult leaders are telling their constituents to commit suicide, and many members of the cult are in compliance. What does Sharon expect to accomplish with his 200 nuclear weapons? World peace? Peace in Israel? The era of good neighbor? He will accomplish none of this. On the contrary, he and Mr. Bush have the potential to initiate a nuclear world war with a policy of preemptive first strikes. They will only accomplish the peace of the cemetery. The terror with which they behave and is will blow back at them, but not only at them, but to the beautiful people who live in the United States and in Israel. China can now follow the deadly logic and attack Taiwan. India can follow the cult and strike Pakistan. Russia can eliminate Chechnya. And we can all spend our few remaining hours in nuclear winter. And what do we see in our Democratic Congress people? Many of them have joined the cult of necrophilia as well. You, Mr. Waxman, and others really should not represent us anymore. The way we look at it, you're fired. Friends, we're not here to curse the darkness, but we're here to identify a national cult which is about to take more lives than the Third Reich ever did. We must stop this Holocaust. A defunct Democratic Party and the warmongering Republicans have given us no choice but to protest in the streets. The commercial media has done everything possible to silence and censor our movement. And friends, maybe that's a good thing, because we are now in every city and state of the United States, as well as in Israel. We will build a peace system. We will abolish the war system. Join us in San Francisco and Washington on October 26th, and join our guest, Father Roy Bourgeois, at Fort Benning in November. Calls to Congress are coming up to 1,000 to 1 against this war. We are being ignored, but the will of the people will not be disregarded. We did not give you our hard-earned money to buy cluster bombs for the children of Iraq. We did not authorize you to conduct a Holocaust in our name, not in our name. We believe that as people living in the United States, it is our responsibility to resist the injustices done by our government in our names. Not in our name will you wage endless war. There can be no more deaths, no more transfusions of blood for oil. We pledge to make common cause with the people of the world to bring about justice, freedom, and peace. Another world is possible, and we pledge to make it real. After some more very good music, I have a great privilege of introducing to you my dear friend, Father Roy Bourgeois.
The cop that shot him said he was in the way. That happens every day. And his mother said, I've seen that gun before. He calls it racist, you call it a drug war. I've seen these guns so many times before, cry the poor. Her name's Maria, no shoes on her feet. Supported her family selling fruit in the street. Her government said, we don't know what happened. But her mother remembers quite well. Government death squads the U.S. created went in her home and had their way. That is a tax we pay. $1.5 million every day. We've seen these guns before. Killing the people in El Salvador. We've seen these guns so many times before, cry the poor. No, I don't know exactly where, and I can't say exactly when, but I do feel in my soul that we will win. We gotta keep on.
Hello, friends. This is Blaise Bonpain, and I'm very honored today to have here in studio Father Roy Bourgeois, a Mary Knoll father, the very same community in which I was ordained. And we certainly have been friends for many years. Father Roy is a Vietnam veteran, wounded in Vietnam, not as a chaplain, but as a sailor in Vietnam. And he had his mind turned around regarding war there. He entered the seminary after the war and was ordained at Mary Knoll in New York and became the founder of the School of the Americas Watch. I believe, Roy, that your decision to demonstrate in November of 2001 was one of the most pivotal decisions made in the United States at that time, when everyone was telling you and your group to shut up. And you went ahead anyway right after 9/11 with this massive demonstration at Fort Benning, Georgia, drawing some 10 to 12,000 people. Why did you do it?
Well, we felt we had no choice, Blaise. Many of us, have been in this peace movement for years, struggling for justice, trying to ally ourselves in solidarity with the victims of our country's foreign policy. And actually, we were also motivated by the call from the general, Commanding General of Fort Benning, who called a week after 9/11, actually requesting of us that we not come back in November, as we gather every year, the biggest gathering in our movement, to call for the closing of a school that we see very connected to untold suffering and death in Latin America. Soldiers who train at this school go back and simply provide the muscle for U.S. foreign policy and really defend the economic interests of those large corporations who exploit the poor, that cheap labor, and their resources. And many of us in this movement have been to Latin America and have known firsthand the brutality of the military toward the poor. But this call from the general was rather unusual. He said, you know, this is no time to be protesting. We're at war with terrorism. Well, we called leaders from all over the country, from California to New York, and what everyone said was that it was more important than ever for us to gather.
That seems to make sense because the president was looking for terrorist training camps, and you found one.
Yes, for many years we've been referring to this school as a training camp for terrorists in Latin America. How else does one, describe the horror, the massacres of church leaders of El Masote? Over 800 in this village of El Salvador, including over 100 children. Of the 12 responsible, 10 of them trained here. The assassination of Bishop Romero, those responsible trained here. The rape and murder of the church women, those responsible went through this school. So what we have here is, again, a school that's been very connected to suffering and death in Latin America. And what we also heard from people in our movement when we questioned them about whether we should go back, everyone said that President Bush keeps saying that we have to go after those training camps for the terrorists wherever they exist and shut them down. And what better place, really, to start than in our backyard, right there at Fort Benning, Georgia. And so we came, 10,000 strong, and we're going to be back in November the 16th and 17th, in greater numbers than last year.
You know, Roy, many of the people that conducted the El Masote massacre, which was covered, of course, by the New York Times, the correspondent Ray Bonner, many of them received absolutely no punishment whatsoever. And on the other hand, you have spent several years in prison for your work for peace. Now, what's the problem here?
Well, the problem is, it angers me that I've spent over 4 years in U.S. federal prisons for these nonviolent protests against my country's foreign policy in Latin America, and specifically the training of these thugs, these bullies from Latin America that we train in commando operations, counterinsurgency warfare, and they go back and kill, torture, rape. I have here an article on the front page of the Washington Post, 1996. They discovered that manuals used at this school advocated torture, and this got the school in big trouble, of course. But what we find is that this school training these soldiers from 18 countries in Latin America, about 1,000 a year with our tax money, it keeps the militaries of Latin America entrenched. It keeps them in power. They have such power, you can't touch them. They get amnesty. 99 of our people in our movement over the years have gone off to prison for nonviolent protest and have collectively served over 50 years. We have 29 in prison today, 3 from California. Why are they there? Because last year when we gathered, they went around this 9-foot chain-link fence topped with barbed wire that says no trespassing. They went around that fence onto Fort Benning carrying photographs of the victims of this school. And they wanted to make a statement. And they were arrested for this nonviolent act, sent to prison. They're in prison now for 6 months and hit with a very stiff fine. While those who have done the killing, those who have tortured, raped, massacred, they walk, they get amnesty. And that angers me, that right now 3 people from California are in prison doing hard time for nonviolent action. But something very important, when they send us to prison, it energizes the movement. Every time they send us to prison, more people come into the movement. We have learned early on that they cannot silence us. The truth cannot be silenced.
You learned what Nelson Mandela learned. You learned what St. Paul learned. You learned what Mahatma Gandhi learned. You've learned what Martin Luther King learned. Everything is somewhat upside down because the Hall of Fame at the School of the Americas includes one Hugo Banzer. Now, he's the Hall of Fame. If he's the Hall of Fame, what is reality?
Yes, I like to refer to it as the Hall of Shame. What we have at this school are high-ranking officers from Latin America, 20 generals, who most of them were dictators, like General Banzer. I lived under General Banzer for 5 years in Bolivia. I mean, he was a thug. He came into power through a violent coup that my country, the United States, defended, propped up.
Right.
He and his men with the guns defended that socioeconomic system mm-hmm. there that kept the small elite very wealthy, very powerful, and the vast majority living on the edge, struggling for survival. In 1986, this thug, General Bonser, who had blood on his hands, who was responsible for the death, the disappearance of many Bolivians, was brought here to this school at Fort Benning, paid for by the U.S. taxpayer, and inducted into this school's Hall of Fame, presented as a model soldier. And, you know, it helped educate us. When I learned that, you know, having been in Bolivia, a lot of folks didn't know who this thug was. But what is going on here, Blaze, is that we are becoming educated. There was a time when, you know, we were very ignorant about U.S. foreign policy. This school has become for us a teachable moment. We can look at this school and learn about a lot about what our country, you know, has been and continues to do to the people of Latin America. And what we have been doing is we live off of their backs. We live off of their sweat, their labor. And the large corporations, of course, come in, you know, for one reason, to seek those huge profits that can be made from that cheap labor and those vast resources there. I'm happy to say that more and more people now know what's going on. Still today in our country, our greatest enemy is ignorance.
You know, Roy, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Apparently, our treasure is in the military, and that over half of our budget now is wasted in this type of production. And I think it is trashing the people of the United States. We're closing 15 clinics here in Los Angeles. People are going to die as a result of the military budget, just as President Eisenhower said they would. He said that every gun that is made is a theft from the poor. He ought to know. He was the main general of World War II. And here we are having our treasure in this. And it is destroying us. We're not so much destroying others as we're being destroyed. And that's happened to so many empires. And you're right in the very front lines of this issue. And you're going to have a bigger demonstration this year, aren't you?
Yes, I must say, in the midst of all of this madness that you described, how else do we name it? It's madness. Yeah. Our leaders have gone mad. And unless we take to the streets and start occupying offices and saying, no way, not in our name are you going to do this. And, you know, we do it here, and we send many people to Iraq to stand in solidarity with the Iraqi people and say, if you bomb here, we're going down with them.
I hope our listeners understand, Roy, that we're talking about an actual program of Voices in the Wilderness based in Chicago, which intends to send many people directly to Iraq to stay for the duration of that war as a protest and as witnesses to what is taking place. This is not something that is just in the air. This is something in process. There are already people in place in Iraq as there are people in place in Palestine.
And I'm encouraged as I travel around mostly to colleges, church groups. People are beginning to awaken where, as you mentioned here, we're no longer cursing the darkness. We realize that we've got to go out there and let our voices be heard. We've got to get into the arena. This can no longer be business as usual. And I was reminded of that when 10,000 people came after that general's call not to come. We came 10,000 strong. Who are we? About half are college students, a lot of veterans, senior citizens, lots of nuns, parents with their children. And this is what I see now as I travel around. This issue is not disconnected to what we're getting ready to do in Iraq. It's all about militarism. It's all about violence. It's all about our leaders, really, the vast majority, former CEOs. Mm-hmm. What they have in mind, of course, is how will they keep stay wealthy. And their corporations. They could care less about the suffering poor. But we in this movement and so in the other movements dealing with peace and justice, confronting this issue of foreign policy and militarism, I believe, though, really, that we can change this. Change will not come from the top down. True, you know, we see this now in Congress, how they've become cheerleaders. Our members of Congress have become cheerleaders for President Bush. This is madness. Well, since they are not speaking out, we, the grassroots, change has always come really from the bottom up, not from the top down. And again, as I travel around, I tell you, more and more people are becoming empowered. And I certainly have a lot of hope. One thing I have to mention, though, I find myself getting very angry at how can we not get angry at the statements from George W. I mean, he gets up there, he thinks he's Clint Eastwood. Mm-hmm. You know, all this macho talk. What is this about? I think personally the man has been eating too many steaks. I mean, the guy is, you know, eats this raw meat from Texas, you know, and he's got all this anger. We have to watch, though, in ourselves. I think our president is consumed by anger, by vengeance. He lacks, any kind of wisdom or spirituality. I mean, I have to say this, if he was filled with peace, he could not be speaking the way he's doing. We have to watch that our anger does not consume us. Right now, we need people like, Mahatma Gandhi. We need people like Dr. Martin Luther King, Cesar Chavez, Dorothy Day, and others. They're not here, but we can be what, you know, who they were. We can represent what they represented.
We can't allow the United States to be destroyed in our name.
Yes, yes.
They have taken away the power of the people. When you have 1,000 calls against the war and one in favor of the war in congressional offices and some 500 to 1, some 100 to 1, the will of the people is quite clear. And it reminds me of President Roosevelt, who said quite clearly when he saw the power of the military-industrial complex, he said, when the corporations have more power than the federal government, he said, I call that fascism. That was FDR himself. And this is the danger that we're falling into. These people are behaving in a dictatorial fashion. They are doing nothing for the people of the United States of America. We wanted them to be there to be our servants. In our system, they are to look like servants, act like servants, behave like servants, or get out of office. We want them out of office now. They have proved themselves
yes.
to be malicious in their behavior rather than beneficial to the people of the U.S. So I'm so glad you're out there. And your event this year is November?
It's November the 16th and 17th. We're going to have thousands, more than the 10,000 we gathered last year. We're going to be there from all over the country, all walks of life, different ages, speaking with one voice.
How do people reach you? What is that website?
They can get a lot more information about our big gathering in November. The bill that we have in Congress, H.R. 1810, that calls for the cutting off of the funding, by going to our website. That's www.soaw.org. And one thing you will find on our website, too, are our excellent resources, a book that connects this issue, the School of the Americas issue, to the globalization issue, to the IMF, the World Bank, those corporate giants. And we have an excellent video just released, The New Patriots. Charlie Litke from the Bay Area, recipient of the Medal of Honor in Vietnam. Major Joseph Blair, farm instructor at this school, talking about the torture manuals. Each of these veterans, five of them, talk about why they want this school for terrorists shut down and putting this whole issue in the context of this war on terrorism. But that video can be used, and along with the book, as a good resource to educate ourselves and educate others. What I've discovered is in the words of Bishop Romero, I think, says it so well. He said before he was assassinated by graduates of this school, let those who have a voice speak for the voiceless. We have a voice, and it's time now, if we have not been speaking, to come forward and speak clearly and boldly at this time. This is a very, very critical time in our country's history, and it cannot be business as usual. We've got to get out there and let our voices be heard. We've got to start, I feel, as we will start gathering by the thousands throughout the country, we've got to start also occupying congressional offices to remind our members of Congress that they are not listening to us. And as you said at the beginning, let's just fire them.
Oh, yeah.
Get them out. Get them out of office.
Yes.
No, this is serious stuff.
Fired.
What also, as a Vietnam veteran, this is what really gets me angry.
Yeah.
Old George W., he's talking this macho talk. We've got to go over there and bomb and kill. Of course, he's not going to go. And, Cheney, of course he's not going to go. Their sons and daughters will
They're
go.
Wimps, all right?
Oh, yes, yes. We ought to have a new rule we play by. Those who declare the war, they go and fight.
Oh, they should be in the first wave.
Yes, yes.
Send them
and, of course, they're going to visit the troops in the field as they did to, visited us in Vietnam, patting us on the back. Oh, man, good going. We're with you. We're proud of you.
Yeah, and they'll have the general in Florida instead of over there. And they'll have the troops dying be African Americans and Latinos.
Exactly.
We're supposed to support that. This is not supporting the troops. Supporting the troops is saving their lives and not having them engage in an immoral war of empire. It's not acceptable. And I think that it's wonderful that you see that, Roy. Yes. And the time is getting short, I understand. My goodness, I've been so grateful today to have with us Father Roy Bourgeois, the founder of the School of the America's Watch. He's a Mary Knoll father, a Vietnam veteran wounded in Vietnam, and now working as a major person for peace throughout the world, especially beginning by closing the School of the Americas. I really want to thank my engineer, Nathan Thompson, and my producer, Lisa Smithline. And if you wish copies of this program, you can call us at 323-852-9808, 323-852-9808. We're going to hear some more of that really good music about seeing those guns before. This is Blaise Bonpain.
Jack Taylor, a U.S. sailor, joined the Navy for the GI Bill. And then they sent him to an Arab desert, gave him a gun and showed him his enemy to kill. But Jack got closer, saw the name on his enemy's gun, and he said, "Oh my God, mine looks just like that one. Same war make, same war maker, same create, same war creator. U.S. of A, all the way." Gave a gun to Jack, sold the guns to Iraq, pin them against each other, make them hate one another. And Jack said, "I've seen that gun before, killing the people back in the war in the Middle East. I've seen that gun so many times before, cry the poor. Hey, I want those people to know, we don't support these bloody shows. Yeah, I want to be known for me, though I'm tied to the actions of my country.